coming in. Can you tell me your full name, please?
Kenneth Arthur Edwards.
Okay. And do I have permission to record this interview?
Yes, indeed you do.
Thank you very much. Where and when were you born, Ken?
3 Brook Avenue, Milford Haven, 1935.
Right. So you're a local born and bred then?
Yes, indeed.
That's it, yeah. How did you first meet Paul Sartori, Father Paul Sartori?
Well, it was interesting, actually. The formation of the mental health services in response to the Mental Health Act 1959 took place in Merlin's Hill in Halford West.
Mm.
And from there, it was the formation, really, of the base of social services of today.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Seebohm Act in 1970 actually formalised that and merged children's services and the old welfare departments.
Yeah.
And I came across Father Sartori in relation, well, on in two counts, really. One, from my work in terms of homelessness, and it was quite unusual, really, because homelessness never had the profile in those days that there was now. And there was a man called Glyn James, who was a mental welfare officer, and I used to organise the 6 or 7 mental welfare officers in the county from Merlin's Hill in Halford West. And Father Sartori, and then gradually problems in relation to homelessness came to the fore as people identified problems, you know, because there were no services before, or very little.
Mm.
And there were very few actual resources available. And on occasions, social work, well, I referred them as social workers, they were referred to as mental welfare officers.
Yeah.
They would come across problems, there were 4 or 5 of them across the county, and they would come across problems of homelessness, and they would actually not be able to solve the problem.
Mm.
And Father Sartori, and that's why really I mentioned to Simon that I had some knowledge of Father Sartori, and just casually, and then Simon, of course, with his big ears.
That's
of,
right, yeah.
And then he rings me up. So there's a chap, to go back to Glyn James, was a mental welfare officer in Halford West.
Yeah.
And he lived in Broadhaven, and he was a saxophonist with I think there was the Astrolays band. Anyway, he was an artistic kind of chap.
Yeah.
And he stumbled, I think, on a sort of working relationship in a desperate situation where somebody was actually on the streets. And Father Sartori didn't turn him away.
No.
Father Sartori did not turn him away. And I remembered that, and I thought to myself, so that continued then in terms of at the last resource, at the last resort, we would actually try and find Father Sartori. Whether or not Father Sartori had people who actually volunteered to put somebody up, but I don't think it was long-term stays.
No.
It was short, one night, you know,
yeah.
Somebody was desperate.
Roof over the head.
Yes, a roof over the head for one night. And I'm not even sure if the authorities knew what Father Sartori was doing. I'm not sure about that. But he was doing it, and I thought, well, what a, you know, what an impressive guy. And because homelessness, there was only one resource by the late, I don't know when Father Sartori came to Alfordwest.
I should know.
Late
60s. I was going to say 69 late or 60s. Something. Yeah.
I'm guessing 69.
Something around that time.
And there was only one resource then for homelessness in Pembrokeshire. One.
Yeah.
And that was at a lady called Mrs. Williams at Plas Creek, a bungalow in Roach, near Roach Castle.
Yeah.
And she took people in, and with minimal payment.
Yeah.
And she took people in, yeah. And they lived there for years. Farm workers who were thrown out of their jobs after 40 years service, et cetera, et cetera.
So did you actually meet Father Sartori in person then, or was it through your workers?
No, later on.
Oh, right, okay.
So that sort of just became an emergency thing, but an emergency.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in the early 70s, 1970, the Seebohm Act for the formation of social services, then resources started to emerge. People got paid for putting up the homeless, etc., etc. So, on the other occasion I actually met him was I was a member of the Labour Party, and I used to go to meetings in I don't know the number New Street, but the Labour Labour Club. And the Labour Club then was well occupied and well resourced, and there's a chap called Glyn Rees who was Desmond Donnelly's agent, and they were developing social activities within Pembrokeshire. And Father, I always noticed Father Sartori was, he liked a pint. He liked a pint. And he smoked. And he smoked. But I can always remember, and I don't know, did he have a boss?
A boss?
Yeah.
The bishop.
The bishop, yes.
The bishop in Swansea. Oh, no, actually in those days, I think it was Wrexham.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So that was, he's answerable to him.
Aye.
Otherwise,
yeah.
Lord
but
to himself.
Father Sartori, my wife said, he came from Llanelli.
That's right.
That's right.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
I noticed, I used to go to the political meetings, and then the Desmond Donnelly era, when Glyn Rees and thing, they all split up.
Right.
Oh, political chaos. But Father Sartori was always in the Labour Club. Not always, because he's always there when I went there.
Yeah.
And that wasn't very often.
No.
It wasn't very often, but I did go there regularly, and all the meetings were held there, and the hustings were held there, and the selection of candidates was held there. He was always in the club with older people. And now I've worked out, he must be about 30 then, is he?
He was 39 when he died in 1980.
Yeah.
So
he was getting on.
He was getting towards that, wasn't he?
Yeah. So I thought, like the young priest, and I always remembered his sort of dog collar.
Yeah.
And he was always there in terms of chatting to people.
Yeah.
Chatting to people. And at different tables, I don't know why I remembered it, but I'd met then, obviously, and then of course Lord Gordon Parry stood for election three times, etc., etc., and it was always rumoured that Father Satori was telling his flock to vote for Lord Parry.
Right. Yeah.
Unsubstantiated.
Yeah. I was going to ask you whether you thought Father Satori was politically active, but on the quiet.
Social conscience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's simply my memories of him, and I didn't know if it was relevant to what you were doing today.
Very relevant, because we're gathering all sorts of people's memories, really.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these questions here, you know, now if I look down them, it talks about what was your earliest memory. Well, you've talked about that.
Yeah, yeah.
How would you describe Father Satori? If you had, say, three words or something like that, how would you describe him?
Very sociable. Very sociable.
Yeah.
I can remember he was sat at different tables, as I said, in the bar, and you went up beside stairs into the club at some point.
Yeah.
But he was always, you know, he was always mingling and always deep in conversation with. And on reflection now, I'd always think it was always older men, a few women, but always older men who he was chatting to, and earnestly. And I thought, well, are they his flock, or are they just people from? It's a very easy walk-in place to have a pint.
Yeah,
and it was very popular at one point. Very sociable.
Yeah. Do you think you've talked about how he influenced your work and the homelessness. Do you think he had any personal impact on you at all, in any way?
Well, personal impact was, he solved problems.
Right, yeah. So he helped you out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And without ever meeting him in person earlier on from Merlin's Hill, and he was only 200 yards down the road.
Right.
Because in 1962, the health service combined in Merlin's Hill. There was a new building at Merlin's Hill. Do you know the Merlin's Hill Clinic?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was there, was it?
Yes, on the 1st of August.
By the fire station then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the 1st of August 1962, the health service moved to Merlin's Hill from 23 Hill Street afterwards.
Yeah.
Only a house.
Yeah.
And that was the health service.
Yeah.
And there were some Nissen huts in probably on this site, the county offices.
Yeah.
And two Nissen huts was the school health service, which I worked in.
Right.
Impact in terms of personal goodness.
Yeah.
No room at the inn. And there was room at the inn.
That's a lovely phrase, really.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention, Ken? Is there any other things that we haven't really covered in the way that you remember? Was your colleague the one that was in Broadhaven that dealt with the homelessness? Is he still around now?
Oh, no. Oh. He was quite, I was quite young then.
Right, and he was a lot older, was he?
And Glidden was a senior man. You know.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was looking for more people to...
I thought about that.
Yeah.
There was Glyn James. There was a chap called Neville Benham in Narberth, an Eastgate clinic, and they were registrars of births, deaths and marriages. And when the new Mental Health Act came out, and then the emerging the Children's Act came out in 1963, one of the first ones, of, and 48 for the National Assistance Act, then that it was all beginning to sort of say, well, hang on, now we've got to get better organised.
Yeah.
Because the only services available to people in days gone by was a small welfare department in the county offices here with a chap called Victor John, and the children's department in the county offices on the other end of the building was presided over by a man called G.L. Kassam. And they had to merge, in a sense. And then the mental health thing sprung out of Dr. Davis's desire to have a health service from Hill Street to the new clinic on the 1st of August 1962. The mental health section was down on one side. I had one desk.
Right.
One desk.
Yeah.
In the school health section.
Right.
Yeah. And the other end of the building was the three health visitors.
Yeah.
And downstairs was the ambulance service.
Yeah.
The total ambulance service.
Did you ever come across any other people that had had dealings with Father Paul Satori in any way?
Carmel. Carmel, I met because I remember her as a nurse coming in to the health centre in Merlin's Hill.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, I knew of her.
Yeah.
And she worked with the wife anyway, I think.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and she was instrumental in
I think then, I don't know now, because I live in Nayland and, I don't come to Avarice on a work basis.
No.
But you used to, in the old days, church on a Sunday, and you'd see the crowd outside, when the service had finished.
Yeah.
You'd see a big crowd of people in Dew Street.
Right.
So.
And do you remember anything about Father Satori's funeral at all?
No.
No.
No. No. I went off to, I'd say it was 1979, 80, was it?
Mm.
1980.
Well, I was 4 years in Fishguard as the team leader, and so my concentration.
Yeah.
I lost touch.
You
with
lost
Harvard
touch
West.
With what was going on in
Harvard
West.
Harvard
West.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Have you got any other questions you can?
No, at all. It's excellent. I'm just hoping it's recorded and you don't have to do it all over again. So I'll just press.
Thank you very much,
Ken. And then.